The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Shaka Hislop. And what a night of Europa League action it was. We will be hearing a little later on from Archie Rintoul, who was at the Camp Nou to see the surprise result with Eintracht Frankfurt knocking Barcelona out of the competition. 3-2 on the night, 4-3 on aggregate. Two goals from Philippe Kostic, an incredible strike from Rafael Borré. Two goals back on the board for Barcelona from Busquets and a penalty from Depay, but not enough. And one of the biggest surprises of the season so far, Barcelona out at the quarterfinal stage of the Europa League, as we now welcome in some more to our panel to talk about everything that we saw. Frank Leboeuf, Luis Garcia and Jules Laron. And I'd like to start with you, Luis. What happened to Barcelona? They were favourites to win this competition.
Okay, why with me? I mean, you got two or three fantastic pundits here on analyze. Well, I think everything started from the very beginning where Barcelona found that Eintracht Frankfurt didn't go there just to waste time and to wait to see what they were going to do on the game. They knew they were going to be dominant, but they didn't change much what the plan was in the first game. They start pressing from the first minute in the last third of Barcelona and not allow them to build up easily. And well, they found that penalty that we can see. We can talk about if it was a soft one or not. It was a penalty. It was grabbed from behind by Eric Garcia. It was a mistake from him because I think there was not much hurt over there with the player. But at the end, you start from the very beginning with a penalty against you, and you need to do even more than you did in the first game, in the second half of the first game. With a team that is ready to play like this. The plan of Eintracht Frankfurt was to be well organized, to press in the wide area, not allowing them to Dembele or Ferran Torres to get the ball, and then those quick counterattacks. And well, they did it in an amazing, fantastic way. And I think they deserve to go through, because today they proved that it's a team that is very disciplined, is well organized, is determined to go forward. And at the end, they got players who can finish the game, like we've seen with Borré or Kostic in the left side.
Were you shocked with what you saw in the game, Frank?
Well, I was shocked by the way Eintracht Frankfurt played. I wasn't expecting that fantastic game that they showed us today. They were absolutely perfect, and I said, Luis, from the first minute to the last one, and they showed to the world that they deserve to be in the semi-final, that they could cope with the new Barcelona. I think it's not the best of the best of Barcelona, but they were on the way back to their prime, I would say, and Eintracht Frankfurt found a way to stop them, and they were the king of the new camp today. They did absolutely what they had to do by the pressing that they had, by the tactical option of the coach. They did everything to make sure they're going to win that game. And even if Barcelona scored two goals at the end, and there is a doubtful penalty even for Barcelona at the end, there is no way that I've seen Barcelona coming back and being able to go through. Frankfurt tonight was much better than Barcelona.
We've asked our other Frenchman, Jules, to put his L'Équipe hat on and be very miserly with his player rankings. As you know, L'Équipe are famously very well known for their very stingy player rankings. Jules, talk us through yours for Barca tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's not good reading if you're a Barcelona player, Barcelona fan. They are really, really low. They are out of 10, of course. Ter Stegen still, I think, made 5 or 6 saves, some really good ones, because otherwise the humiliation could have been even bigger. I mean, Mingesa, right back, the two centre backs. One, Eric Garcia, you can't make a mistake like this so early on by giving away that penalty. That was rugby, that was not football. And for Araujo, why not closing down Santos Borré earlier? And he goes down, he goes back and back and back, and then it's a wonderful strike by the Colombian. But surely Araujo should have defended better. Atahualpa and Busquets, especially with the goal. But We had a better players. We didn't see enough of Pedri while he was on the pitch. Gavi tried, especially in the second half towards the end, to have an impact on the game. Aubameyang, I mean, that miss on the Dembele cross in the six-yard box is maybe also the difference tonight. If he scores that chance, and it's a huge chance, then the rest of the game is maybe very different. So not enough for Ferran Torres, and Dembele, I think, at times made the wrong calls. But this was a really poor performance from Barcelona, one of the worst since Xavi arrived, really. And we saw them struggling at home against Galatasaray in the previous round, against Napoli in the one before where they couldn't win. It was two draws. But for them to play so badly, it was a big surprise tonight.
Luis, what do you think of Jules's player rankings?
I have to talk to Pete. When he asks me things, I know he's going to throw them on the show, but it's fine for that. I understand, I agree with him. I agree with him that it's not the best performance of Barcelona. I understand that some of the players didn't give what they can or they deliver. But I'm surprised with Araujo, because if you have a mistake with Araujo, great. When you have a mistake, it's fine. But overall, you cannot give a 3 to a player who have gave 100%, who have gave everything, who has created chances, who have been fantastic at the back, helping Garcia, that probably didn't have the best game, or Mingueza, that didn't have the connection because Mingueza hasn't been playing for maybe 2 or 3 months. And I'm surprised as well with Dembele. He was the key player for Barcelona tonight. From the first minute, he was trying to fight. The players weren't giving the ball as quick as he was expecting. He was very dangerous on the right side, very dangerous on the left side. And have a 5, just enough to go through to this game, I think that we could maybe put the other ones. Okay, I understand that it was not the best game, but even Sergio Busquets, that he was fantastic in the middle of the park, he scored a goal. What else can he? What else has he had to do to get a better? Julian, just tell me. He needs to score 3 goals from the middle of the park. He has to defend better. He has to pass better to get only a 6. I'm surprised. I think that overall the team didn't play well. But the grades of a couple of 3 plays, I think, could be a little bit better. Yes, my opinion.
Jules?
I just think that, you know, for 95 minutes, they were 3-0 down. So I think there's a point where even if Busquets play well, if you're 3-0 down for most of the game, you can't expect a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. For Araujo, I understand what you're saying. There's that big chance that he missed, the ball then ricochets on Busquets, who scores but was offside. I think if Araujo scores that goal again, a bit like the Aubameyang one, it's a different. The end of the game is very, very different. And for me, this is a big miss from Araujo. I know he's not used to be in that position and to scoring goals. But even a centre back with his at this level, with his talent, he should have taken that chance and score. Maybe the rest is different. That's why it's a 3 as well.
Listen, on one hand, I agree with Luis on a couple of points. I think Araujo maybe deserve a little bit more border strike. Somebody shapes up to shoot from that distance more times than not, especially if you have somebody like Ter Stegen behind you. You invite that. And while I think Torres and Dembele could have had better scores from Jules, I think he was kind to Aubameyang and Garcia. In even at 3s, as the worst players in the park, I thought Jules was very kind to them. Goals shape this game. And for Garcia to give away as cheap a penalty as he did, as early on as he did, I thought that was defining on how this game went. Now, you wondered if it was that early in the game, that too early, as the cliche goes, against Barcelona. And while I thought Torres was good, I thought Dembele was very good. I thought Eintracht Frankfurt played them well in that. Didn't allow Dembele to come inside too much. He got down the wings on occasion. And every time he got the ball across, I thought Aubameyang was not to be seen. Jules mentioned one chance that he missed that was a sitter by anybody's measure. Even at 1-0, there was a header that I thought he mistimed his jump with from a Dembele cross, that I expected a whole lot more from him. And had that found the back of the net, had Trapp at least been tested, I think you'd have seen Barcelona rise. But for 90 minutes, I don't remember an awful lot that Trapp had to do. And as a result, Barca find them for themselves out deservedly.
Frank, what do you think of the rankings from Jules? Do you think La Keep would be proud of them?
I think it was very kind of them, because at 3-0, you can put a zero for everybody, you know, because when you play at home at the new camp and you have to win and you are 3-0 down, you know, you don't deserve any point. But, you know, that ranking, I've been suffering from that ranking when I play in France from L'Equipe. And I remember that in the year 2000, they decided to put half points, you know. I don't know where that came from. I guess when you had the good gears, when you put the socks in the right position, maybe they give you half points more than the others, you know. That's nonsense, because it's hard for only one guy to judge 22 players and to know exactly what they've done. Like, for example, the runs without the ball and everything, the movement, the tactic and everything is very hard. So it's not fair to the journalists, but it's not fair for the players. But today, Barcelona players don't deserve much more than 1 point or 2 points, let's say, to be nice.
Well, the semi-finals are now set. It will be Frankfurt taking on West Ham. A big win for West Ham on the night as well. 3-0 it finished to them, with goals from Dawson, Rice and Bowen. Leipzig knocked Atalanta out. A big night again for Christopher Nkunku. And meanwhile, Rangers beat Braga. Let's get some more reaction from the camp now then, shall we? Because Archie in Tut was actually there for this big night for Eintracht Frankfurt and the bad night for Barcelona. Archie, I want to start by asking about what Xavi said afterwards in the post-match presser about the fans in the stadium. He feels as though there must have been some type of miscalculation on Barcelona's part, because it felt like a final, he said, with the stadium divided half and half. What was it like?
From a German football perspective, and somebody who knows what these fans are like, not surprising. They will travel in numbers, and they're serious about that. 30,000 Eintracht Frankfurt fans, by all calculations, were here in the stadium. Barcelona only have themselves to blame. Who was selling the tickets at very extortionate prices, I should add, as well, to the Frankfurt fans? It was Barcelona. So if Xavi is disappointed about that, then he needs to be looking within his own hierarchy, because that's their fault.
Archie, can you put into context what this actually means for Eintracht Frankfurt?
Oh, one of the greatest nights in their history. I don't think you'd be able to get Jan Arge Fjordsoft on right now, because he will just be lying on the floor with what's actually just happened. If he's not already launched himself up into space. That was something that nobody could have seen coming. Everybody thought, from a Frankfurt perspective, it's going to be tough, but ultimately Barcelona's quality will show through. But if anything, this was the spirit of Villarreal from Eintracht Frankfurt. They've been labeled before as the German Atletico Madrid, but they were creating so many chances. They could have been 4 or 5 nil up at the Camp Nou. And this is a team, just for context, who at the start of the season had to change their sporting director and their coach, two of the most important positions in a club in German football, but in any club. And they got in the coach, Oliver Glasner, who turned down the chance to be coaching Champions League football at Wolfsburg and left. The Frankfurt fans were annoyed at the fact they'd missed out on the Champions League at the end of last season. And then they have this magical night in Barcelona. It's taken half an hour for the players to eventually go into the dressing room and stop celebrating with the fans. The PA announcer in the stadium has been pleading with the Frankfurt fans to go home. But I'm not sure the people who are running the bars in Barcelona, whilst they'll turn a profit tonight, I can tell you that for free. I'm not sure that they'll be wanting as many clients as they're going to get, because I tell you what, the beers are going to be flowing in Catalonia tonight. And how. This was a famous night for Eintracht Frankfurt. Filip Kostic, that guy has come up trumps for Eintracht Frankfurt before, but on this kind of stage as well, that was some performance.
Oh, it absolutely was. Well, seeing as though that's what's happening tonight in Barcelona, we won't keep you. We'll let you go and enjoy the celebrations with the Frankfurt fans, and we'll see you again soon, Archie.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
There we are. 3-2 finishes to Eintracht Frankfurt on the night, 4-3 on aggregate. Just to let you know what Xavi actually said, he said the atmosphere didn't help the team. It seemed like a final with divided fans half and half. The club is checking what has happened. There has been a miscalculation on our part. What do you think of him saying that, Luis, and what you saw in the stadium, in the Camp Nou?
Yes, the cover is surprising, but we are talking about Easter time. Loads and loads of people from Barcelona is been going away on holiday. And of course, I understand that Barcelona just opened the gates to everybody who wanted to come in. And of course, there's a lot of tourists. Barcelona is a very touristic place, so there was a lot of people coming to visit the city. So you go there and watch the Camp Nou, and you got a game to watch it. So off you go. But they didn't calculate it that the Inter Frankfurt fans were coming in waves. And we've seen so much people walking on the streets, control. I think they behaved very well. And they were going to try to see if they got a ticket. And of course, Barcelona was selling the ticket. So we finally got supported from Inter Frankfurt all around the Camp Nou. Normally, they got a special place where you can, I think they can get between 3,000 and 5,000 people in one of the corners, but Camp Nou is around 95,000, so that is okay. But in the moment that you see white shirts all around the stadium, people start not being happy. That's why sometimes we saw tonight in one of the stands people going away for around 10 minutes to complain to Barcelona why they were surrounded by Frankfurt supporters. So I understand what Xavi's intentions are. I think that doesn't change what the team performance was tonight, but definitely it was something that adds at the bad performance. When you don't have your supporters behind you, it's not something good when you played at home.
Jules, is it true that you heard Xavi's comments and actually lowered your rating for him for the player and coach ratings?
No, not just for that. I just think Barca should have won, even if there had been 90,000 Frankfurt fans in that stadium. They are the better team. They are a better team. They have better players than Frankfurt. This is not where they lost this tie. Not because 30,000 German fans turned up at the game and because clearly Barcelona Socios sold them some of their tickets because the club clearly let them buy more tickets than the allocation that they initially gave for away fans. Like Luis rightly said, you've got an away end on purpose, but tonight they were all around the stadium, not just in their away end allocation. So this should not be an excuse for why Barca lost the game tonight and why Barca was so poor for most of the game. This is not an excuse, and I was just a bit disappointed by Xavi pointing out the fact that there were so many German fans in the stadium, because let's not forget the previous round, they did the same in Sevilla against Betis. So surely Barcelona should have known. This is what happened with Frankfurt. They do that every time, every season. Remember Frank a few years ago in Bordeaux? They brought 20,000 fans in Bordeaux. And this is what they do. So Barca should have known, should have been warned before, and should have handled that very, very differently maybe than what they did.
Yeah, and then another big point for Barcelona on the night, obviously losing the game and losing Pedri as well, Luis. Not good to see him coming off. And we hope it's not a bad one.
Yes, Kate, but even though if it's not a bad one, it's not going to be good news for Barcelona, because we all know how important he is. You could see that from the very beginning of the game, he wasn't getting involved. He was getting receiving the ball. He was moving in one small area, so we can think that he wasn't feeling 100%. But in the moment he had his hand grabbing his hamstring, that's something that is not good. Even though that he hasn't pulled or tore his hamstring, it's going to be a couple of 3 weeks at least. And then if we are talking 3 weeks to get ready, we are talking about a season over for him. Barcelona is not going to be involved in the Europa League. He's going to be fighting to try to get closer to Real Madrid, even though that probably La Liga is already over. So most important, and I think, is to keep safe Pedri and keep it clean for next season. And at the end, this is Pedri probably saying goodbye to this season.
Oh, don't like to see that at all, especially with what we've seen. He's been lighting it up for Barcelona this season. These are the odds to win the Europa League now, just taking a look. And I'm sure you'd like to hammer home who you're hoping to see win, Xhaka.
Look, I'm just enjoying this ride for West Ham as much as any West Ham fan, in a sense of disbelief. Good result against Lyon, 3-0 in a game that I thought, up until the Declan Rice goal just moments before halftime, Lyon were by far the better of the two teams. Even at 1-0, I did not see how West Ham were going to go on and close it out. Then that goal and the second half was much improved and easy for West Ham. Leipzig have had a tough run themselves, well done well against Atalanta, who we've sung their praises over the last couple of seasons, so you understand why they're favourites. And as good as Eintracht Frankfurt were, I'm a little bit surprised to see them below West Ham, given that you get the better of Barcelona as you do. I just thought as you go into this one, given West Ham's performance against Lyon and Frankfurt's performance against Barca, they may be a little bit higher. But that's a very tough tie to call between those two. And then we see what Rangers have to offer at this stage of the competition as well. So it's especially given what's at stake in terms of a Champions League berth, it's really, really interesting.
Jules, are you a favourite here?
I think Leipzig have to be favourite. The way they went to Bergamo tonight, this afternoon against Atalanta, and the performance that they put on was fantastic. Domenico Tedesco has done an incredible job, really, since coming on and replacing Jesse Marsch at that club. He's got as many points in the Bundesliga than Jürgen Nagelsmann, for example. And in Europe, for a team that obviously dropped out of the Champions League, and don't forget, they were in a very tough group with PSG and Manchester City. They've done so well in this competition. Now they have the favourite. Let's see how they handle this title of favourites. But it's going to be, obviously, semi-final and final now. It's going to be tough for them. But I think they should be the favourite for everybody. Anything is possible now. We saw that with Frankfurt, West Ham to a certain extent, Rangers as well after the Dortmund win, etc., etc. But for me, Leipzig have to be the slight favourite.
Shaka, Jules and Frank will be joining us on the latest edition of Extra Time. Be sure to keep up to date with everything that happens on Extra Time by subscribing to our YouTube channel and hopefully getting your questions answered. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, after the result between Atleti and Man City, which saw City progress in the Champions League, Marca and AS had their own thoughts on it. But the English press, they had very different views on what they saw from Atleti on the night. So you just saw the words like mad, bad. But look at this from Marca. Heart without reward. As for Diario AS, they're saying, well, very little was missing. And as you saw, that is a stark contrast between the Spanish press and what we were seeing from the British press. Well, we decided to hear a little bit from our own British pundits. Here's what they had to say about the results.
I'm absolutely delighted that they are out.
That at the end from Atletico Madrid was a disgrace. They played so well in the game, Atletico Madrid. They don't need all that rubbish, all those antics.
Some of the stuff we saw towards the end of the game, it's not what you want to see on a football pitch. I can't believe that they didn't go over to the Atletico bench and celebrate in their faces and give it to them, because the way that they were treated there, I thought was an absolute liberty.
They went about the whole thing the wrong way, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I was watching the Pied Piper. At the end of the game, they've had maybe two chances maximum in two games, but yet the stadium, to a man and woman and child, are on their feet with their scarves in the air, singing and clapping Simeone like he's some sort of messiah. Give a break.
Simeone has this crowd believing that they are wronged, that the officials are against them, that everybody's against them, that La Liga's against them, that UEFA's against them, that everything's against them.
The last, what, 10 minutes, you can't condone that. And Simeone's got to take some responsibility because he seemed to be encouraging some behaviour. It's not a thing that you want to see from a top-level coach, an elite manager.
They're a mirror image of their manager, I'm afraid. And for what they've spent, I think they should be better than that. So I, for one, am absolutely delighted they're going no further in this competition.
Luis, are these guys missing the point? Is this what Atleti are all about and they should know this?
No, I don't think so. I think that Atletico Madrid is much more than that. I understand that when you are not around, when you don't feel what this crowd means, his team and the atmosphere that they create, and of course that we are talking about a team that has to fight every single year against the two giants, they are Real Madrid and Barcelona. And when they are getting closer, there is something always happen. I understand that a lot of people doesn't agree the way the Simeone manage or the same Simeone make them their players to play or to go on the field. But at the end, there are many ways of playing, and there are many different situations that you can see and try to find what is your goal. And if we don't talk about, and I'm not agree what happened at the end of the game. I'm not talking about that. You can do whatever it takes. I understand the frustration, the heat of the moment drive you to commit and make so many errors or mistakes. I'm not agree with that, with Savic, over Salico, the images, the footage we've seen. But I don't agree with the people that is trying to condemn everything because Atletico and Madrid didn't manage well the last 10 minutes of the game. I think they tried to go through. Pep Guardiola said the same about Manchester City. We couldn't do anything. We have to hold at the back. We have to hold Atletico Madrid because they were better than us in those minutes. So in the end, you try to get that result. And Atletico Madrid try until the last moment. And I think that, they try. They are out at the moment and people start complaining and talking about Simeone. But we have to give the credit to Simeone that in 10 years, he managed to win two Champions League finals, to win La Liga in three occasions. And that's massive here in Spain.
Frank, what did you make of it all?
Well, in a neutral point of view, I enjoyed the game from the first to the last minute. And it reminded me the time that I was playing football, the time where you didn't have VAR, where, you know, players like Craig Burley, players like Denis Suárez, players like myself, were going for it, you know, like 120%. I remember the hate that you could feel when Manchester United and Arsenal were playing, when Roy Keane was facing Vieira, all nasty things that we saw. I think the English press forgot all of that. Or maybe we are in a modern football where everything has to be clean. Of course, I condemn what Felipe did, and he deserved the second yellow card when he kicked after tackling, he kicked Foden. I condemn what Savic did, but it's part of our football, and it was clearly what we saw every Sunday in the Premier League or in the Liga or in the Serie A or in the League One in all Europe. So we just forgot that. Atleti were facing one of the best teams, if it's not the best team in the world, I would say with Liverpool. Of course, they have a good side, but you have to fight with your tools. They're so much united with their coach and the fans that they almost created a miracle. Manchester City defended for 45 minutes in the second half like I never seen them being obliged to defend. So Atletico almost got what they were looking for. They missed it. They're out of the competition. Some people are going to be punished for their behavior. But as a neutral point of view, I enjoyed the intensity of the game.
Okay, Shaka, who are you siding with? Are you siding with Luis and Frank? Or are you going with the likes of Julian Lescott, Rio Ferdinand, Stevie, Craig?
To Frank's point, I didn't enjoy the game as a spectacle. I think it had you on edge because of how narrow City's lead were, of how defensive Atletico Madrid continued to be, and you just wondered if they'd get something on the break and how that would change the entire game. But yesterday, Gemma was talking about Atletico recognising their own vulnerabilities. And this is my issue with Atletico Madrid, in that I find they play the game not to lose, as opposed to win. And I just feel, as much as this team has taken on Diego Simeone's image in how they play the game, and that siege mentality that he embeds in them and in the fans, which is easier to do at a club like Atletico Madrid in a league like La Liga, where you have Barcelona and Real Madrid. It's easier to say that everybody's against us when you rattle in the cages of the two Spanish big boys. You saw, I've been critical of Jose Mourinho and how he has used that siege mentality in the past, and it works. But at some point, you have to move past it. It worked at Chelsea because Chelsea hadn't won the league for 50 years. He came in with that at Real Madrid. That only lasts so long because it is Real Madrid. Similarly with Manchester United. After 10 years and the amount of money that Diego Simeone has spent, you are waiting for Atletico Madrid to shed that siege mentality, woe be us, is way about them. And so to see them, after all this time, still put up that kind of a front, that negative front, is hard to accept. But the truth is, on the balance of play, on coming into this, you think City should walk away with it easily, and it wasn't. So as a fan, you applaud it. As a neutral, I'm not sure how you continue to endure it.
Jules, where do you stand on it all?
I mean, this is not my kind of football. This is not my cup of tea. I think El Cholo thinks that this is how they have to play to be able to beat a team like City. I disagree. I think he's got enough talent, certainly attacking-wise, to play in a different way and cause problems for a team like City. I would have really liked to see them more attacking from the first leg to the second leg and not just in the last 20 minutes, really, of that second leg. But this is what he believes in. He had a plan. The plan didn't work out. Okay, he's going to try again next season. And he's going to do the same. I understand the relationship that Luis explained really well between the fans and El Cholo, and this idolation that they have for him. He's almost like a guru there because he brought them so much. And I think they like suffering. Atletico fans have suffered so many years before he arrived that I think they like suffering. And they don't mind their team defending and digging deep and having that sort of character and that personality. And this is great. If that's what they like, this is great. Personally, I would love to see Griezmann attacking more, Joao Felix not being on his own up front, trying to control the ball against four defenders. I would like to see more of that, but this is not his style. This is not his philosophy. That's fine. This is why he does what he wants.
Go on, Luis.
Can I say something? I understand that it's not the most beautiful part of football. It's not the best way of watching. We all enjoy Liverpool playing and the City playing when they are so dazzling and beautiful. But we see Real Madrid in the semi-final of Champions League. And not long ago, they were defending. They didn't have a shot on target against Paris Saint-Germain. And in the second game, for 45, 50 minutes, they didn't have a shot on target. And suddenly, bing, they decided to start going forward. We are talking about Real Madrid. And for 20 minutes, they work. It went go forward. They score goals because they have a fantastic player like Isco Benzema. And they ended the tie. And that's it. And we have to agree with that, with the Real Madrid going this way, because I think it's exactly the same what Atletico Madrid tried. But didn't work. In the first game, they defended and they conceded a goal. Exactly like Real Madrid. The second tie, they tried. They start moving forward. At the end, it wasn't enough. It was a tie. Didn't work. They had the chances, but didn't have Benzema to score in the goals for Atletico Madrid. But I don't think, at the end, I'm not talking about the last 10 minutes when everything went crazy because of the frustration of not getting the goal. But at the end, it's exactly the same. And now we are going to say that Real Madrid is one of the best teams because of that performance. I don't think so, because they didn't play well either. But the result is there. So no one is going to talk about the first game of Paris Saint-Germain. No one is going to talk about the first 45 minutes of the second game. They're going to talk about the Real Madrid. It's in the semifinals, and that's pure Simeone. I'm not talking about how we play. I'm not talking about what happened. I'm talking about being in the semifinal. And this time, he goes short, and he's not going to be there.
But to that point, and I'm with Jules on this. Listen, I understand that that's how Real Madrid got through the tie against PSG, but I don't feel that that's Real Madrid's default position, that they want to defend, that they go into games thinking we're going to play for a 0-0 here up until the 89th minute. Whereas you get that feeling with Atletico Madrid. And time and time again, or every so often, you see Atletico have incredible players, and you see them play an attacking brand of football. And then all of a sudden, So, for example, they would start the season playing this attacking brand of football and you love what you're seeing, and then the first bad result, Diego Simeone regresses into who he always is. This defensive style of football, regardless of the opponent, regardless of whether we're talking City, Liverpool, or Getafe. As soon as he has one bad result in playing attacking football, you see this negative side to him come out. And for me, I just think that is too fragile an existence for a club like Atletico Madrid. That as soon as one thing goes off, doesn't work, that's who you end up being. Or you go back to that default position. I understand that sometimes you come into games and the opponent just pins you back and you cannot figure a way out. And you have to kind of defend and try to play your way into the game. But that can't be your starting point. That can't be your default position.
Frank?
The thing is that I think the comment of Jules and Xhaka are a little bit unfair in a way that in the first leg, yeah, of course, 5-5-0, they came to defend, and I agree. Even the first half, you know, they didn't know how to cope with Manchester City. You know, when you see all the teams playing for Manchester City, we're going to see how Real Madrid is going to play against Manchester City. They're going to try to defend and pray to make it work. That's going to work. But the second half, I think they had one shot on target the first half, but I think they have 7 or 8 shots on target and 4 clear chances to score. I think they tried to change and to reverse the score. They tried to attack, and they were very dangerous. It's why I like the game, because I think we had two different positioning in the first half and the second half from Atletico. I saw also Manchester City with 11 men trying to fight and trying to sort everything, trying to sort all the problem out from Atletico. But Atletico created something, created danger the second half, and I never seen Manchester City being so troubled for 45 minutes against any team this season.
Well, it seemed there was also something, or it would appear, of a war of words between the two coaches, Pep Guardiola and Diego Simeone. And this goes back to the first time the two played in this tie. Atleti played with a 5-5-0 in prehistory times, he says. Today and in 100,000 years, attacking a 5-5 formation is very difficult. There's no space, and even though we are good, they are so good defensively. Now, just remember that word there, prehistory, and let's hear from both of the coaches after the final game between the two.
Hola, Pep. ¿Qué tal? Buenas noches, Cristina García de Mediaset. Siempre se ha criticado al Atlético por ser muy defensivo.
Hi, Pep, how are you doing? You've always criticised Atletico for being too defensive and wasting time. But today we saw that City was uncomfortable. I don't know if the Simeone lineup caught you by surprise, and if you have a feeling in this game that it has been a little back and forth.
Who's criticised Atletico Madrid?
In general, the other day you said that it's a prehistoric with a 5-5-0 to attack. Has Cholo surprised you?
Don't get confused. I didn't say that. I said a lot of years ago, and today when a team defends well, it's always hard. That's all I said.
Hola, Mister. Javier de Diego, Radio Nacional de España. Te lo voy a preguntar directamente.
How are you doing, Mister? I'm going to ask you directly.
Te voy a preguntar directamente, sí. ¿Crees que
Do you think that Guardiola has disrespected you as a coach or Atletico Madrid as a team during this elimination, or said anything that makes you look bad, or said anything disrespectful?
No, yo no tengo por qué opinar y creer.
I have no reason to comment on whether somebody says good or bad things. Often those who have a wide vocabulary are very smart and can praise you with this
deal.
But those of us who maybe don't have as much of a vocabulary, we are not stupid either.
So it's interesting here, because Pep Guardiola is saying along the lines of he didn't mean anything offensive by that. But even so, we spoke to Sid Lowe about this. He actually said he's seen examples, and people have given examples of when Guardiola has used the word prehistoric before. Mm-hmm. And perhaps there is something in the fact that he's saying it's always been this way. But it does seem, even so, that Diego Simeone was slightly perturbed by what Pep Guardiola had said. What did you make of it all, Luis?
I make it. Listen, now that I'm in the other side, I'm in the analyzing side, a pundit. I'm not a journalist, but I feel kind of in the same position because now the only thing I can do is not is just give my opinion about what's happening. But when you see a journalist asking Simeone, listen, you know what he said? Do you think that he mentioned or he tried to send you a message? And then, but maybe Guardiola didn't say that in the same way, but this journalist tried to tell him in a different way. Simeone said, no, you know what? And say another sentence. Yes, you know what? He's got a fantastic legacy, but maybe he's hurting me. And then that exactly journalist is going to go to Guardiola, is going to say, you know what he said? He said that you got a fantastic legacy and you're trying to hurt him. So at the end, he's trying to move. I think Guardiola was mentioning, and he's not only the one, is that he's not going to play the same way like Simeone. They are totally direction or opposite ways of seeing football. It's more creation. It's more about building. It's more about combination. And Simeone is more about the 5-5-0. It's more about trying to be very organized, trying to be compact, and try to use it. And that's been used for many years. And if we go down in history, it's true. A lot of people, and we can talk about the Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, they've been always like this. A 4-4-2 were a fantastic defense, long balls, and try to make quick transition. That's the whole. Football has been evolving for many years. And at the moment, you got a lot of different situations, a lot of different ways of playing. With five at the back, with three, with two, with four, so many different ones. At the end, which is the one that is going to give you success? Which one is going to work for you? And then you have to try to find the best one. Simeone is not the one of Pep Guardiola. And Pep Guardiola is not ever going to be the Simeone. That's the end of it. And for me, I think that they are two amazing managers trying to get results for their club and trying to do the best for them. And no one. And I think they got a lot of respect for each other. That's my point of view.
I mean, how can we argue with that? To be fair, Jules, I blame the journalists.
Always the journalists, bro. Always twisting things, you know? Always trying to look for the little thing to make to make those comments and have people having those kind of fights. I think they are. This is a big rivalry in the sense that they're so different. Everything is so different. The clubs, the way they manage, the philosophies, all of that. So they will always be in opposition when they play each other. And I think there's respect. Remember, I think I said that last week before the first leg that El Cholo actually went to when he was doing his badges and spent some time with Guardiola when Pep was at Barcelona. And we're talking the great years of Barcelona. And I think El Cholo saw what Pep was doing and said, okay, this is not for me. I'm gonna have a very, very different style of football that reflects who I was as a player. And this is what this is. There will always be rivalry. Whenever they face each other again, we will go back to remember that season 2021, 2022, when you said this and you said that. And let's listen, El Cholo had prepared his answer. He knew exactly he was going to be asked a question about disrespect. And the lexicon and the vocabulary answer was pre-prepared. I can guarantee you that. And he knew exactly how he would have a dig back at Pep without naming him. And this is what they do. This is what the big managers do. Mourinho, Guardiola, Simeone, plenty of others have done it before, doing it now, and will do it in the future.
So it works for everybody, it seems. It works for all parties in the end. Frank, you get the final say on this situation.
Well, the thing is, I think our coaches have become, you know, politics. It's funny that it changed from our days where, you know, we didn't care about saying what we were thinking and it's what the coaches were doing. Now, as Jules said, they know exactly what they're going to say. They know exactly almost what they're going to be asked. And they know what they're going to answer. And it's always hard in a human world to all think the same way. You have to also interpret some words differently because of your culture. So some people know how to do that. And some other people struggle about it. But for sure, those two guys know exactly what they say and how they're going to say it and what they want to say.
We'll let Luis go now. Actually, it's been great to have you with us, Luis Garcia, tonight. We look forward to speaking to you again on ESPN FC. Yes. And we look forward to hearing more from Jules and Gab. The latest Gab and Jules podcast is out. Don't forget, it drops twice a week. You can download it wherever you get your podcast. What will Jules be wearing next week? Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Taking a look at the Europa Conference League, and we've got some semi-finals set here as well. Roma impressive in the end to go through to play Leicester in the semis. Look at that one, managing to get a good result over Bodo Glimt this time. We'll have to see what our man Yanaga Fyotov has to say about this. Saniolo with a hat-trick, Tammy Abraham with a goal too. And in the other semi, it is Feyenoord taking on Marseille. How will it affect Shaka's power rankings? Well, here's the man himself to tell you.
Well, as you can see, Kay, a very heavy Champions League and Europa League bias. I couldn't miss the opportunity to get West Ham in, as they did. I said before, I thought Leipzig would be favourite to win Europa League. Villarreal, despite their struggles domestically, getting the better of Bayern, deservingly in at number four. The rest kind of speak for themselves. Inter drop down, understandably, continue top of Serie A, Ajax top of Eredivisie. Those teams that were in, Barca, Bayern, having lost in Europe as they did, they're out completely, as are PSG, not through any fault of their own, but just the likes of West Ham and Frankfurt, who've come good and found themselves in the top 10.
Looks to me like you've taken the easy route out.
Okay, you cannot argue with the data.
It looks to me like you've just gone, you know what, these guys all got through in that competition. I'm going to throw them all in there.
Okay, it's science. Okay, it's science. I've learned you cannot argue with science, Kay. I just put the numbers in.
Well, Jules is arguing with it kind of here. He's saying what I'm saying is true.
No, Jules isn't arguing, really.
Jules is taking the mickey, isn't he?
This is Shaka today. What time is it? 5 o'clock. Oh, my power rankings. Hang on, let me think. Champions League semi-final. Yeah, Liverpool, City, Villarreal. Europa League semi-final. Oh, yeah. West Ham, Leipzig. And then who else? Inter. Yeah, top of the table. Yeah, that's right. Ajax. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Here you go, producer Pete. I mean, come on.
Well, I need to correct you, Jules. It was not 5 o'clock. It was
4:30. 4:30.
4:55.
So you're wrong.
Frank is Shaka wrong.
I found it pretty okay. You know, I would have put Villarreal before Real Madrid because what they achieved against Bayern Munich maybe deserve the third spot. But I found Shaka pretty fair, you know, with the Hammers being sixth and not fifth. And he puts Leipzig, which I think is a favorite to win the Europa League. So he's been fair in that matter. So congratulations, Shaka.
Thank you, Frank.
Sure you did it on purpose. That's the thing.
Thank you, Frank. It's the data, Frank. It's science.
It's
you can't
data,
argue with science,
science,
Frank.
Two La Liga teams making it into Shaka's power rankings. Why is there two La Liga teams there? Well, of course, there's two La Liga teams still in European competition. Yeah. But of course, that's not the way that he was doing this. La Liga does live on ESPN Plus. You can catch it every single weekend, every single game. This weekend, the big one, Sevilla taking on Real Madrid. The Bundesliga also lives on ESPN Plus, and there is a whole host of games for you to feast your eyes onto. Every single game available. It all gets underway on Saturday, taking you all the way through to Bayer Leverkusen against Leipzig, who've been on fire of late, as you saw against Atalanta. We're looking forward to seeing more of them. And then the championship, big championship schedule, crucial stage of the season as those playoff spots and promotion is getting close for all the sides that you can see here. Lots of games, big deciding matches coming up this weekend and in the ones that follow, all of these available on ESPN+. And that is all we've got time for the latest edition of ESPN FC. Shaq is so tired after having to put those power rankings together, but he's going to stick around a little longer, as are Jules and Frank, because we're going to answer your questions on Extra Time. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. We've got a very tired Shaka Hislop.
Yes.
Spent all week sweating over his power rankings.
It's tough, you know, Kay. It's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it.
It's really tough. We've got Frank Leboeuf and Jules Laron with us as well, obviously. Huge fans of the power rankings. A genius.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So here's what happened. Dan told us all he was going on a cruise, but really, he's left us all to become a social media influencer.
Look at his model look. This is my catwalk look.
Jules, neither was I. I mean, what do you think of this picture, Jules? Dan Thomas looking all model-like.
Yeah, he should have known better. I mean, there's some people who have the physique for it and others who don't have the physique for it, you know?
I stayed out of that.
Frank!
Hey!
Yeah. Frank, Dan's always got something to say about your modelling pics in the gym. What, do you like this one of him?
Well, first you have to make sure that you iron the shirt before you wear it. You know, it's better because it's not the case.
Maybe that's the look he's going for.
Then after you see a shade on the left of the face, which is maybe better because we don't see the old face, you know. But it's not too bad. It's not too bad. You know, I talked to the owner of Ten Legends, the shirt company owner, and he said, well, you know, he complained because he didn't have his shirt, and he said to Julian, I want that shirt. He finally got it. He must be very happy. He had some free shirts. He's so a star.
And he's so happy. He's turned into a social media influencer now.
I know. He won't live that down.
Will he be back to defend himself on Sunday?
Well, if his social media influencer gig takes off, he may never be back.
What else will he promote?
Let's move on.
Let me tell you, this is for a Mets Mad, and I will tell you that it has Al Madrid in the line at the top. Anyway, they ask, is Xavi a genius still? Jules.
I think this is part of the learning curve. And, you know, we gave him a 3 out of 10 for his team selection and the coaching today for that defeat against Eintracht Frankfurt. I wonder if at a time maybe he underestimated that team and thought, okay, we got a draw in Germany. Now we're back at the Camp Nou and we're going to see this one out. And I think this is also part of his learning. He's still a young coach in a way, certainly in Europe here and at a big club in those kind of competitions. And I think maybe that was part of it. He made mistakes. This was not good tonight from Barcelona, from himself as well. And let's hope that he learns from it.
All right. Okay.
I agree. Listen, I also, given where Barcelona were when he took over, no one thought we'd be having these conversations about Barcelona finishing second and at one point, can they catch Real Madrid? Nobody thought we'd be having those conversations. So you have to give Xavi credit for that. I also thought in the previous round against Galatasaray, in the first leg, Barcelona were equally disappointing. But then they go to take it and were absolutely fantastic and they go through. And this one against Frankfurt, again, I thought disappointing in the first leg. And I think what you learn, and Jules is right, this is part of the learning curve, you don't just turn these things on and off. Now, you know, as a player, I'm sure Xavi knows that. As a manager, you're trying to balance your squad and rotate and with everything going on.
as good a player as you are, for as good a career as you've had, there is a learning curve to being a football manager. Just ask Steve Nicol about his own. And this is a part of that as well. You cannot just switch these things on and off as they had done previously.
All right. Jules, another one for you. Should Barca look to sign Darwin Núñez? He's been incredible for Benfica this season, and he brings that Uruguayan flair that Luis Suarez had.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Okay, I think all the big clubs should sign Darwin Núñez. There's only one, though, so a lot of clubs will be disappointed. But if, as we believe it, and as we know, Barca went for Haaland, and now it's pretty clear that they're not going to get him, it would be either City or Real Madrid. I think if you're looking for that kind of profile as a striker, and they need a striker, then I think you're the one below Haaland is Darwin. He's young, he's got that energy, as you said, he's a really good finisher. We've seen that, we saw that against Liverpool this week. We saw that in the Portuguese league as well. He's having a wonderful season with Benfica. His first real breakthrough season in a way, considering that last season with Benfica and the one before with Almeria in the second division in Spain, it was not, you know, this was not this kind of level. I think it's a no-brainer for me, for Barcelona, for English clubs, for other top clubs in Europe, that he's one for the future. He's an amazing striker. There's no doubt now. I think he's proven that to everyone. So, yeah, they should go for him, of course.
Nice. Xhaka, will West Ham win the Europa League?
Oh, goodness me. Don't get me to jinx them, Key. Listen, I'm enjoying. We were talking about this. I'm just enjoying the ride. I know West Ham fans are. And I'll be honest, I don't think any West Ham fan is thinking that far. I think they're just looking forward to the next game, what it has to come. I'm sure West Ham fans would have preferred Barcelona just because they're just in dreamland right now. They second, if not third favourites, as far as I can see, right now. So it's unlikely that they go on to win it. But at the same time, it's going to be enjoyed.
Xhaka was really quiet watching the Lyon game. I couldn't even hear. I couldn't even hear any noise.
We
the gallery room.
We West Ham had backs against the wall. I was a little bit nervous. Let's just leave it.
He was praying. He was praying.
Key's not being genuine. I was not quiet.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh God, it was.
But he was delighted to see it for the West Ham fans, and I could definitely say that. We talked about that. All right, Jules, are we finally seeing Jose Mourinho step by getting Roma back to the level they expect to be at? Where is the Jose praise?
No, I think deserved praise. If we want to be picky, this is Bodo Glimt, and I know that in the three previous games against them, Roma failed to win. So, but this is Bodo Glimt, right? However, that put aside, they were fantastic tonight. The three Zaniolo's goal, the first one, the Tammy goal, is a set piece, okay? But the three Zaniolo goals are fantastic in the build-up to them and how different they are, all of them. I mean, the first one is my favorite because it's such an incredible build-up to it. It's one-touch football. It goes and you lay it up and then it goes into that through ball from Pellegrini. It's an amazing goal. The second one on the counter is wonderful. Then Zalewski gives the ball at the right time. It's a lovely finish by Zaniolo. And the third one is the ball in behind and Zaniolo runs, gets it, finishes the top corner. But we haven't seen a Mourinho team being able to score so many different goals like this, different build-ups, different origin and background to it. That is amazing. I like what he's doing. There've been lows this season and highs as well. They're fifth in Serie A. This is good. But let's not get carried away either. Again, this was Bodo Glimt.
Okay, well, we'll see what's next for them against Leicester. Frank, when will the pundits learn not to write off Real Madrid? Against PSG, Chelsea, everyone wrote them off. After Real Madrid win, they say it's because the other team didn't play well. How about giving some credit to Real Madrid for their mental fortitude and winning mentality?
More than that, I think it's more the fact that they won so many times that competition that it went into their genes, and they always think that they can manage to win at some point. Say mentally, yeah, for sure, they're very strong, but It's very hard, it's very, very hard to give some credits to the performances that we saw on the game, on the two return games that they play at Santiago Bernabeu. I gave credit to the game that they played against, against Chelsea when they play away from home, saying also that Chelsea had maybe the poorest game that they have, I ever seen them playing this season. But yeah, you can give credit to Real Madrid. But really, it's more a miracle for me than anything else. And I have nothing against Real Madrid. I love that club. I almost signed for that club. I cheered, you know, every game that they played before. But this season, I'm sorry. What I see, what I saw against Paris Saint-Germain for one game and a half, what I saw the second leg against Chelsea doesn't make me feel that they're good enough to get some credit. They have the mentality, yes. They have something in their genes who pushes them to the best and to win games. But for me, if I see Real Madrid winning the Champions League this season, I would be very, very surprised.
What an anti-Madridista. Anti-Madridista, Frank Leboeuf. Okay, for Jules, Nkunku has been amazing this season, Jules, with 30 goals across all competitions. Where would you like to see him play next season if he does move on from Leipzig?
I think the next step now has to be a top club. You know, we're talking the likes of Manchester City or Liverpool or Barcelona, Real Madrid, those kind of clubs, Bayern Munich. I think I would love to see him at Bayern Munich. You know, if Lewandowski goes, he's a very, obviously very different style of player. And despite all the goals, he's not a pure striker like Lewandowski is, of course. But I think right now, he's at the level that requires to play for a club like Bayern Munich. So I think this is the next step. He might fancy just another season at Leipzig, especially a World Cup season, to make sure that there's no bad surprise and that he makes the France squad, goes to the World Cup, has the second half of the season after that, and then has the big move the following summer, so the summer 2023. But I think he's ready. He's ready now. He's in incredible form. He's such a versatile player. He can play in so many different positions. He's got an incredible football IQ, the intelligence, the awareness, all of that. And he is coming to maturity. It's so interesting. Such an incredible development in the last 2 years that I really hope that he makes that big step forwards and go to a top, top club. And those top clubs want him anyway. So I think this could happen this summer.
How about you, Frank? Where would you like to see Nkunku go if he goes?
I want to see him signing for a crazy amount of money in terms of transfer to Paris Saint-Germain when Mbappé leaves. That's going to be funny. Yeah, he just came from him, from there, you know, and signing. Well, it can happen. I think it happened in some players, you know, where they couldn't perform, as the club said, you know, and just came back and have been absolutely fantastic. I think Nkunku can play in front with Paris Saint-Germain if Mbappé leaves, and Jules would be very happy.
All right, I've got one more for Jules here, and you guys can wade in if you want. Jules, Nadem's interior decorator asks, which clubs in Europe's top five leagues has been the most disappointing this season in terms of pre-season expectation versus current status? So you've got Lyon, Atalanta, Everton, Wolfsburg, or is there another one that you think?
I mean, I think
Manchester United.
Yeah, of course. Frank and I said it at the same time. Yeah. I mean, the names that you just read, it's been disappointing for Lyon to be in 10th position, for Atalanta to be missing out on maybe even the Europa League qualifications in Serie A. I mean, Wolfsburg have been terrible, changing manager, etc. I can't remember who's the other one. But nothing can beat Manchester United season in terms of disappointment, in terms of underwhelmment. Does that even exist? Underwhelming.
It is now. That's a word now.
You know, I can make a
word. That's a new word.
I think the season is so bad that if we even allow to make a word, to make up a word for it.
We'll have to see what Diego Simeone says about that, using big words to look like you're giving praise with disdain. So I think you're all unanimous on that one. Manchester United, right?
Easy.
All right. Shaka, What was worse? And you can all answer this one. What was worse? Dan's glasses or Stevie's haircut?
No, Stevie's haircut. Stevie's haircut. His name close. Isn't that, I mean, don't get me wrong. Dan's glasses weren't great, but he sympathised. OK, fine. But Stevie's haircut.
Frank.
Goodness.
I would love to see Steve Nicol with that haircut and with the glasses on of Dan Thomas. That would be fantastic. Oh my God. No. Jules. I will go for Stevie's haircut.
Stevie's haircut.
Sure. Jules.
Oh yeah, Stevie's haircut.
Okay.
Oh yeah, every day.
All right,
day.
Next, that's the next level. Now, yeah. What's worse, Stevie's haircut or Dan's influencer post?
Oh, no. Stevie's haircut. I've got Stevie's haircut. Stevie's haircut is underwhelming. We go with underwhelming for Stevie's haircut as well.
Speak underwhelming.
You deserve a bit of a new word.
Frank.
Oh my God, you know what? You know what? That guy has to stop, you know? He has to become a model. I mean, I'm sure he has to become a model. You know?
He may have.
He has a style.
I've not seen him for ages.
He has a style. Maybe he went somewhere, you know, maybe he's trying. He gets some castings and stuff
maybe
like that.
Maybe he's in Milan. Paris.
Yeah. Paris, yeah.
I didn't see him in Paris, so I guess he's in Milan, yeah?
So Marseille used to have a manager before called Michel, the Spaniards, and he was always, I don't know if Frankie remembers, always nicely dressed, but on the pitch, he was terrible, terrible coach. And the players used to call him Fashion Week because he was always smiling with, you know, white teeth and always nicely dressed. I think from now on, we should call Dan Fashion Week. Every time I say, hey, Fashion Week. Hey, you okay, Fashion Week?
We will. We'll see if he receives it with underwhelming. Dan, I think he'll be back on Sunday. We'll see what he has to say about it. No autographs, please.
Fashion Week is back.
That's Zoolander soon. Right there.
Blue Steel. Okay, that's all we've got time for. We know that maybe you're a little bit hot under the collar after seeing that picture of Dan, so.
Oh, goodness me.
We'll say goodbye now. Thank you. I can't breathe.
This is so good.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow, I think.
Hopefully. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow.
Or not.
Okay.